Our scripture reading for this morning's sermon is Mark chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 14 to 20, but our text will be verses 14 and 15. So Mark 1, beginning in verse 14. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. So that's so far a reading of God's word for our hearts and lives this morning. Verses 14 to 15 are our text, and it will help for you to keep your Bibles open to the passage as we consider it this morning. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching of his word. Dear Lord, please work in us by your word and spirit as we hear and receive your word this morning. Please work in us for Jesus' glory. Please help us to understand your word for our edification. And please remove any distractions from us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, we have seen Jesus as the Christ receive a special office from God, which claimed his entire life and through which he became the Redeemer of the world. Jesus Christ is a man, just like you and me, and yet he's also very different too. He is the Son of God, and as the Son of God, he is a unique man in this world, which is full of interest and self. The individual is king, serving self in their own little kingdoms, seeking to fulfill their own wants and needs. Their likes and their dislikes are all that matter to them. The King, Jesus Christ, collides with the self-interest of men who, like their father the devil, set themselves over against God as ultimate king over their heart and life. The life of serving self is ultimately a part of the kingdom of the devil. But Jesus Christ appears in God's service to free you from a life of living for Satan and for self. Jesus Christ, the God-man, enters into human history and lays claim over man's heart and life. He lays claim over your life, and he shows us what it means to be wholly devoted to God. This morning we're considering the gospel message that Jesus Christ brings, and we'll see what's required in the gospel. The man Jesus Christ challenges what we think about who we are and our very reason for existence. He shakes us to our very core to awaken us to reality before it's too late. And so if you've never wrestled with who you are in light of the God-man Jesus Christ, then you're in a very dangerous place. Because if Jesus Christ hasn't challenged you, then Jesus Christ hasn't changed you either. Mark's presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ never leaves you where you are without challenging you. If Jesus Christ did come, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then what does His coming mean for you? The theme for this morning's sermon is the gospel message will challenge you, and we'll consider this in 2 points. Firstly, the gospel message, and then secondly, the gospel requires change. So firstly, the gospel message. Looking at the beginning of verse 14, it's almost as an aside that Mark tells us that John the Baptist's ministry is complete. His job as the forerunner to Jesus Christ is complete. But what does Mark tell us? All he says is, John is taken into custody. Well, in verse 14, there is this one Greek word that we have translated as taken into custody. That is what happens to John. But a more direct translation of that word is that John is handed over. He's handed over. This is the same Greek word that's used on the night in which Jesus is betrayed. Jesus himself is handed over to the leaders of the Jews. So the fact that John and Jesus were handed over at the end of the ministries by unnamed people highlights the fact that it's the will of God that their ministries were over at that appointed time. Highlights the sovereignty of God over their ministries. And as we've seen before, Mark's use of this Greek word serves to link the ministry of John the Baptist with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, later on, a few chapters later on in Mark, we see what actually happens to John. Having served his Lord and King, he remains there in prison until he's put to death. His ministry truly is finished. As we saw last week, the sole aim of John's ministry was to point people to Jesus Christ. And so even in his arrest, John the Baptist points forward to Jesus Christ, and not only his ministry, but also in his suffering and in his death. So John has announced the coming of the King, and now John disappears from the scene. So Jesus begins his earthly ministry in Galilee. Galilee is a fairly insignificant place. It's a place of very humble beginnings, and yet this is where Jesus chooses to begin his ministry. Galilee is in the northernmost part of Israel, Jerusalem and the temple being in the south, and so Jesus starts his ministry as far from Jerusalem, as far from the temple as you can get while remaining in Israel. Mark takes us straight from Jesus' victory over Satan in the wilderness to the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, preaching the gospel of God. Jesus preaches, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now that's the gospel message right there in a nutshell. But there are several phrases there that need explaining. What does Jesus mean when he says that the time is fulfilled? Well, Jesus is pointing out the fact that the time for God to intervene in human history and bring salvation to his people has come. Remember, the Israelites have been searching for the Savior King who would save them from their enemies and from their sin. And in Mark's day, the audience to whom Jesus would be preaching, many in Mark's day had been and still were hoping for a king to come and save them from their oppressors. Mark's recording of Jesus preaching here is showing that the time for God's promised Savior to begin his earthly task to bring about this long-awaited salvation has come. In Luke 4, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah's scroll And after having read that prophecy concerning his own coming, his own anointing and his own work, he rolls up that scroll and he sits down and he says to those listening, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh is the definitive moment of history. King Jesus Christ coming, all of mankind can see the dawn of salvation. In his person and work, Jesus Christ brings this final stage of human history into being. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about this stage in history. It's about the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, the King and the Savior of mankind, has come at this point in time, and thus the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark basically just summarizes the whole life and teaching of Jesus Christ in the single concept of the kingdom of God. And so what is this kingdom of God that Jesus says is at hand? Well, the Aramaic term behind the Greek word here that's used for kingdom means kingly rule, sovereignty. It means reign. And so the kingdom then is about the fact of someone reigning rather than about some sort of geographical area of the reign. To put it more simply, it's about rule rather than realm. The kingdom of God describes what God is doing. It describes his reign over his people and the world. The kingdom of God is initially seen in the nation of Israel being ruled by God as their king. The reign of God is initially seen in Israel's history and the exodus from out of Egypt and the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, but it's most clearly seen in all of the scriptures pointing forward to the person and work of that future Messiah, the future Savior. This Messiah that was promised would usher in the eternal and heavenly reign of God. The Old Testament revelation pointed to the fact that God would establish that reign personally. This is the good news that the prophet Isaiah had brought. The time is now fulfilled. God's reign was beginning to be seen right here in Jesus Christ himself. Messiah King has now come in the person and work of the God-man Jesus Christ, bringing the kingdom of God into the world in a way that it had never been before. The kingdom of God was going beyond the borders of Israel, beyond that nation of Israel, and it was going to all the earth. Well, the necessary requirement for the kingdom of God to enter this world was perfect righteousness, perfect obedience. No man since the time of Adam way back in the beginning had been perfectly righteous and obedient. Not even Adam was perfectly righteous and obedient as he fell into sin. And so in Adam, we can see that the kingdom of God wouldn't come into this world as a result of any human effort. Can only be achieved by the perfect righteousness and obedience of the God-man Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God entering this world means that those who believe in Jesus Christ as King over their heart and life enter into this new state of being. Where once sin reigned in your heart and your life, now King Jesus reigns in your heart and life. In Jesus of Nazareth, the kingdom of God makes this personal appearance. The kingdom of God is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and it's through him that one becomes a member of this kingdom. Every single person when presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, has to make a decision to either to receive Jesus or to reject Jesus as king over their heart and life. And so you can see Mark is showing his audience that through Jesus' preaching that he was going to free them from their sins and from Satan. He was going to spiritually reign over their hearts and lives. He wasn't going to physically rescue them from the rule of their earthly oppressors like the Romans or anyone else for that matter. So here we see as well the coming of God's kingdom occurs in two stages. That first stage is at the first coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God at that point comes into believers' hearts and lives. And so in that way, it is somewhat hidden. The kingdom is somewhat hidden. But then secondly, the coming of the kingdom, the kingdom of God will come in its fullness at the second coming of Jesus Christ, where God's rule will be established visibly in the new heavens and the new earth. And so the full coming of this kingdom will not occur until all of God's people come in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this means that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is to be believed. Jesus Christ, who is the gospel, who is the good news of God, is not only to be believed in, but it also requires you to change. And that brings us to our second point this morning. The gospel requires change. The gospel requires change. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just to be heard preached and received for information. It must go beyond that. The true response to the full revelation of who Jesus Christ is to repent and believe in the gospel. The person Jesus Christ and his work is not just an historical reality that you observe and then you just carry on living how you've always lived. It requires fundamental, it requires radical change. The true king has come, Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14 says, for this purpose, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The arrival of King Jesus and bringing the kingdom of God into this world calls for a unique response. King Jesus calls you to change allegiance from the kingdom of darkness to his own kingdom, the kingdom of God. We see there in the text before us, in verse 15, the response that the gospel of Jesus Christ that it requires is contained and the word there that's repent. Repent is the Greek word metanoia, which incorporates the word, the Greek word nous, which means mind. And so to repent means to change one's life as the result of a complete change of mind in relation to sin and righteousness. Arrival of Jesus Christ, God's Son, at this point in time demands this change in thinking. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ calls for a response, coupled with the command to repent is a command to believe. If repentance denotes this turning from something, then belief denotes this turning to something. Turning away from one thing to another. And what we're called to turn to is the gospel. These two Greek verbs that are used by Jesus Christ to call all to repentance and belief are present commands. They are present commands. That is, they're not just something that you do once and that then you go on and live life and you do no more. No, rather, they're a call to this new way of life. They are to be the constant attitude of believers who are brought into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, their Savior. I hope you understand what this means. In other words, repentance and belief cannot just be applied to only certain areas of your life, but and not to others. Instead, they are to lay claim to the whole person. They are a call to total allegiance to Jesus Christ as King. There's no part of your life that doesn't belong to Him. I don't know if we think about this often enough, but all of life is a spiritual battleground. A man's heart and mind is where this battle takes place between Satan, the ruler of darkness, represented in our own sinful desires, and God, represented in Jesus Christ, who works in our hearts and lives by His Word and Spirit. All of life is a battleground. The way that we then first live out the gospel in response to the gospel message is in repentance and faith. Both are necessary acts in receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This gospel message is a gracious act of God. God's blessing is present in the kingdom of God, and we're to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior King. And our response to our King Jesus is to repent of our sin and to put all of our faith in Him. The way that you and I participate and become a part of the kingdom of God is by repenting of our sins and believing in Jesus Christ. Important. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, have you felt your own sin? Have you forsaken your sinfulness? Have you taken a hold of Jesus Christ by faith and believed in Him? Have you? Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, you can reach heaven without wealth, without health, and without having achieved worldly greatness. But you won't reach heaven if you die unrepentant and unbelieving. A new heart and faith in King Jesus Christ are absolutely necessary for your salvation. May you never rest until you know them by personal experience and can call Jesus Christ your own. With them begins true Christian faith. And in living them out, you're seen to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's only through faith and repentance that you'll find and experience true peace. Now, some believe that because they're alive and in good health, they don't need to consider death. They don't need to consider eternity. They don't need to consider their own spiritual well-being. Well, brothers and sisters, that's a lie from the devil. Today is a day of salvation. The gospel, the good news of King Jesus has been proclaimed to you this morning. And King Jesus calls you to repent and believe in Him. Jesus calls you right now to serve Him with your whole life. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from your sin. is another response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is where people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ as my savior for my sins. But then they just turn around and live life how they please. The carnal, that is, they're fleshly Christians. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this morning. You cannot have Jesus Christ as your savior if you will not have him as king. In all of who you are, in all that you do, you must bend your knee to your savior, King Jesus Christ, and live according to his word. So as the gospel of Mark presents before us each time we look at it, who do you say Jesus is? Who is he to you? When you consider Jesus and the work that he came to do, the fact that he was without sin and that he is God eternal and yet died in the place of sinners like you and me so that we can become citizens of this kingdom of God, with those thoughts in mind, I hope and pray that these thoughts show you your own sin as well as the great love of God. I hope and pray that you see your deep need of Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Receive him as king over your heart and life. Titus 2 verse 11 to 14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, eager for good deeds." In Christ, God takes you from living for yourself and your own little kingdom, and he makes you citizens of his great kingdom and gives you purpose in this life as you serve him and his glory. It's as you belong to him, it's as you serve him as your king, that you find freedom from your life of sin. Come to him, that you might find meaning and purpose in your life, and you will find in him life everlasting, life that will never end. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this fallen world. That you call us to repent and believe in him for the salvation of our sins. Dear Lord, please help us to recognize Jesus Christ for who he is and as he's presented to us as being here in Mark's gospel, as the King over our hearts and lives. Help us to recognize him for who he is. And help us to live in every area of our life for the King Jesus Christ. And as we serve him, may we ever seek to advance your kingdom then throughout the world, dear Lord. Use us just as we are to bring others to know you, that they too might bring you all glory, honor, and praise that you deserve. Please encourage us. Please build us up in the faith as we fellowship together now over lunch. In Jesus' name, amen.